Morning. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Samach Gimel. Going to take a break from learning about Eruvei Chatzeros. It's funny that we need a break so quickly. We just started yesterday. But okay, we need a break. So we take a break from Eruvei Chatzeros, and we are going to be covering just one topic today. It's kind of good how it works out, where just the entirety of today's daf is dedicated to one topic, and the topic is Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. One is not allowed to rule any halacha in front, in the presence of his Rebbe. Okay, how do we get to this topic? So it comes out from the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the very basics of making an Erev Chatzer, and there are three considerations. Number one is that every Jew who lives in the Chatzer has to contribute and has to provide bread and put bread into the basket, put basket in somebody's house, and that is the first step in creating an Erev. Any Jew who does not want to give bread into the basket or forgot to do so. So the other thing the Mishnah told us is that he could be mevatel's rishus. He could relinquish his rights to the courtyard. This is bitel harishus. We talked about it in the Mishnah in the context of the tzeduki. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel quoted his father. His father said, "You know, we have a tzeduki living here. He's a Jew. He does not want to contribute to the Erev because he's a tzeduki. On the other hand, is mevatel's rishus." And we had a discussion yesterday whether or not they were allowed to carry in their chatzah with the tzduki for fear that maybe the tzduki will recant on his bittel. Okay, but that's a different issue for a different time. And then the other thing is what to do with a guy. You have a non-Jew living in your chatzah, so what do you do with a non-Jew living in your chatzah? So there, you have to be socher his rishos. So you have to rent his rights to the courtyard. Good. On that point in the Mishnah, so there was a machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that if you have a chatzim comprised of one Jew and one non-Jew, you still have to purchase his rights to the chatzir. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says no. If you have two Jews and a non-Jew living in a chatzir, so then you have to purchase his rights. But if you have only one Jew and one non-Jew, you don't have to purchase his rights. Okay, a lot of this we discussed yesterday over the course of yesterday's Gemara. Okay. Now, on the issue of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Meir, who does halacha follow like? So that the Gemara said yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, it's clear we follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. In fact, we have a statement that's made throughout the Gemara, which is that any Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. That you have a Mishnah made of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. He says so few things, but what he says, he's so careful about what he's saying. And so consequently, that means that we are going to follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. Which then prompted the Gemara to ask the following question, and now we're going to be starting today's discussion, which is now, I just gave you the background, just to tell you how we got to today's discussion. So, Amalei Abaye LeRav Yosef. So, Abaye says to Rav Yosef as follows. Samach Beis Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Kaimel HaMishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Look, we generally say that every Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is pure, it's clean. V'am Rav Yehud, Amar Shmo, Allah HaKarebi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we also know that in this regard, the Allah is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, regarding Eruvei Chatzeros. Mahu L'Uruye B'Makom Rabo. So, can I paskin like this in front of my Rebbe? Again, the Gemara is kind of asking the question without giving us any background or any introduction to the discussion. But, as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, you're not allowed to rule in front of your Rebbe. Period. Okay, and as we're going to learn later on this morning, you're not allowed to rule even if you're not in front of your Rebbe. Meaning your Rebbe could be somewhere else, and you're still not allowed to rule halacha. So, over here the question becomes, is this considered a ruling? As I explained yesterday briefly, but now we get to speak about it in great detail. If I'm making a factual statement about halacha, meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to cook meat and milk together, that's not a ruling in halacha. That's just simply facts on the ground. You want to create facts on the ground, that's fine. But if there's something where it's debatable, it's textured, it's nuanced, so there, you can't say something in front of your Rebbe. And again, we'll learn later on this morning, even if it's not in front of your Rebbe. But in other words, you can't be more halacha. So here we have a machlokis and our Mishnah between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. And we know the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So can I do the following? I'm standing right in front of my Rebbe. Somebody asks me, you know, I want to make an Erev Chatzeros. You know, I'm only living with one non-Jew in my Chatzer. So do I have to be Socher Rishus? So I'll say, well, it's the first Mishnah. if I can remember this, that's unbelievable. It's the first Mishnah of the sixth parak of Erevin, where there's a debate between Rabbi Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we know the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. You know what? And my Rebbe's standing right behind me. You know what? It's okay. It's fine. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So, in other words, can I do that? Is this considered a hora? That's the Gemara's question, and to which the Gemara's answer is as follows: Mala Ruba Makam Rabo Amalei Afilo Beata Bekutcha. So the Gemara says, no, don't do it. Don't give any rulings whatsoever, even if it's one which is obvious and logical, and everybody knows it's true, but if it's a hora, you cannot be mara halach b'fnei rabo. Now one example, the first example that we're discussing today is be'a b'kutcha, an egg in kutach. Kutach, if you learned enough Gemara, you're very familiar with kutach. Kutach was a cheese dip that was very popular in the time of the Gemara. And basically, the question over here is egg and milk. Okay, can I put eggs in milk? Can I make milk with eggs? I guess the question is, now if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi actually writes, Beit Bekutcha, Beasa Beitza La'ochla, Bekutach Shiesh Ba Nisyuve Dechava, Demilsa Pshito. And now it's obvious. Meaning, ask anybody. Right? Eggs and milk, yes or no? So first of all, what's even the question? Okay, so presumably, let's just take it from Rashi's perspective. Presumably, the question is, well, maybe eggs is kind of like meat, which is not a crazy argument. Meaning, where do eggs come from? Eggs come from a chicken. What's chicken? Chicken's meat. Now, granted, by the way, that chicken, yeah, chicken is meat midrabanan, but okay, chicken's meat midrabanan. But chicken is meat, so you could have made the argument that eggs also is meat. And so, therefore, maybe the question becomes, now, so is eggs have the status of meat, and can I now not eat eggs together with milk?
Okay. You can eat.
And, again, we all know what the answer is, but Rashi is, according to Rashi, this falls under the category of being mora halacha, and therefore you can't say it in front of your Rebbe. Now, when Tosos goes over this Rashi, and you think about this Rashi, you say to yourself, that's really mora halacha? I mean, that's very strange. This falls under the category, it would seem to be, of just simply facts on the ground. Meaning the idea that an egg is not fleshic, the egg is parv, that's universally known. That's not subject to any type of nuance. So Tosos, when he looks at this Rashi, he says, I really cannot believe that's a shaila, whether or not you're allowed to eat eggs and milk together. And if your Rebbe's standing right there, you can't say anything. You can't say anything. It's obvious. Okay. So Tosos has a different understanding of what the Gemara means when the Gemara says Be'at B'Kutcha. In fact, we'll go through just the first parts of Tosos. Tosos says, Afilo Be'at B'Kutcha Mefarish Ba'aruch Delav B'Stam Beit Amayri. The question over here is not a question of eggs, because that's not a question. That's obvious. Da'osan Ein Tzrichan Heter De'ein Lecha Amar Shal Yad Hashem Mutar B'Chalav. I mean, you can go ask anybody, and anybody will tell you, of course you'll have to eat eggs with milk. That's not even a question. Ella, kishes shochet es atanagola, so matzah ba-beitzim gemurah, shemot alochon b'chalav. Here's the question. You open up a chicken, right? Back in my days of biology, we opened up a chicken. So you open up a chicken, so what are you going to find inside? You're going to find eggs. Developing eggs inside of the chicken. So there, if the egg is fully developed, even though obviously, the egg wasn't laid, meaning you shechted the chicken. The eggs were fine inside. The halacha is, if the beitza is gemura, if it's finished, now don't ask me what that means exactly. I don't have enough experience to know exactly when that point is. But if it's finished, it's considered now a parv egg, despite the fact that it actually was located in the body of the chicken. Okay, now you can understand that we're getting to a nuanced and textured discussion about whether or not the egg is parv or whether the egg is fleshic. If the egg is laid already, davar pashut, everybody knows. That's not mora halacha b'fnei rabo. But if the egg was located inside the chicken, now you understand. Now we're dealing with a halacha question. And now you can't paskin in front of your Rebbe. That's how Tosfos understands the Gemara. Okay, good. What are we going to do for Rashi? Rashi is difficult, admittedly. But on another occasion, try to attempt to defend Rashi. Either way, let's just go back to the Gemara. So the point being as follows: Kutach a beitza b'kutach, eating an egg with cheese. I wouldn't say it in front of my Rebbe. So in other words, basically, don't do it. Don't paskin the halacha in front of your Rebbe. Even our issue of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov versus Rav Meir, don't do it. That's a hora. Amale Rav Yaakov bar Abba Labai kigon migilas tarnistik sive uman chamahu laru basri derabe. So the and again now we're going to ask a very similar question. How about Megillas Tanis? Now Megillas Tanis, I'll explain what it is in just a moment. But Megillas Tanis is written down. So in other words, can I field any question about Megillas Tanis in front of my Rebbe? Amarle, and again the answer is Hachem Rav Yosef. I feel be'at Rebukutcha. Ba'al mi name Rav Chista Koshne Deravuna v'la Ure. And again, the answer is don't do it. Meaning, again, they went to Rav Chista, and they asked questions of Rav Chista, questions like eggs and cheese, which again, according to Rashi, is a simple question of eating an egg and cheese. According to Tosos, it's a more sophisticated question. Either way, in other words, we asked a question about eggs and cheese from Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, as long as Rav Huna is alive and well, I will not respond to that question. So essentially, the Gemara is basically saying, again, don't do it. Anything that requires a hora, a ruling in psak, you can't field such a question in front of your Rebbe. Okay. Now, what is this? What's the issue of Megillas Tanis? First of all, let's go back one step. What is Megillas Tanis? And then, question number two is, what exactly was the Shaila? So Megillas Tanis is a recording of days of the year that one is not allowed to fast or give a eulogy. During the Second Temple, there were a number of miraculous events that occurred to the Jewish people. One of them we're very familiar with. It's called Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah is located, found in Megillas Tanis, where the 8 days of Hanukkah, starting with the 25th day of Kislev, so you're not allowed to fast and eulogize during those 8 days. Good. So for us, that's only one set of days that we're familiar with. In Megillas Tanis, there's a whole series of days which we're not familiar with because... Once the Second Temple was destroyed, so we don't these days don't have any legal significance for us. But anyway, this is what's called Megillas Tanis, and the question now becomes: take a look at Rashi. Could go Megillas Tanis diksivo mancha elu yamim asurim lesanos, days that you're not allowed to fast nor eulogize. Nunca Megillas Tanis shelo haisa dvar halachik suva biyameim afilo sachas. Now, first of all, Rashi here, very interesting. Rashi just explains to us, why is it called Megillas Tanis? What does that mean? So, during the Second Temple period, Torah Shabbat Peh was actually Torah Shabbat Peh. None of the Torah was actually written down. So they had no oral tradition written down. So, here you have a teaching, an actual Torah Shabbat Peh, that was actually recorded. Hence, says Rashi, the name Megillas Tanis. So basically, so the question now becomes as follows. Megillas Tanis now is part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And someone comes over to me and says, am I allowed to fast on this given day? Now my response is, well, no, it's one of the days of Megillas Tanis. So again, essentially now, if I'm standing behind my Rebbe or in front of my Rebbe, or as we'll learn later on, even if I'm not directly in front of my Rebbe, I can't paskin the halacha in front of my Rebbe, even something like Megillas Tanis, which is already written down. Okay. Adkan. So we get the basic idea. So, and this is now going to start our discussion of today's daf. Today's daf is Samach Gimel, where basically you cannot paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe. Okay, now, the place that Gemara starts the conversation, although we are already in the middle of the discussion, is basically, generally speaking, you can't, but under certain circumstances, you can. Rav Chista or Rebbe Kafre b'shnei de Rav Huna. Now, we already pointed out that Rav Chista was a student of Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna now second generation Amora. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. Okay? Truth be told, Rav Chista also studied under Rav, but I guess Rav Chista a little bit later. And Rav Chista was a student of Rav Huna. Rav Chista or Rebbe Kafre b'shnei de Rav Huna. Now, Rav Chista would not pass in the halacha in front of Rav Huna. The Gemara just got done saying that. But Rav Chista in the town of Kafre would paskin halacha even while Rav Huna was alive. Rav Huna did not live in Kafre. Rav Huna lived in Pupadisa. And so therefore, Rav Chista, when he was not in Rav Huna's location, so Rav Chista would paskin the halacha even during the years of Rav Huna. Rav Hamanuna Rebecharta Dargas Bishne de Rav Chista. Same thing with Rav Hamanuna Rav Chista. I guess we're going now one generation later. Now we have Rav Chista being the Rebbe, Rav Hamanuna being the Talmud, Rav Hamanuna in front of Rav Chista would not pass in the halacha. Rav Hamanuna, when he was in the town of Charta de Argas, okay, name of a town, I'm unfamiliar, but Rav Chista, Rashi brings down a tradition in terms of who Argas was, but either way, the point being that Rav Hamanuna passed in the halacha when he was not, when he was in a different location, a different town than that of Rav Chista. Okay. What's going to be difficult, which maybe we'll come back to a little bit later on this morning, is the following. We're going to learn later on that you're not allowed to pass in the halacha, neither in front of your Rebbe, or even if you're not in front of your Rebbe. So it's a little bit difficult over here that these Amoraim, Rav Chista, did paskin in a different town than Rav Huna, and Rav Hamanuna paskin in a different town than Rav Chista. Okay, that is going to become a little bit difficult, and if time permits, I'll come back to it, and we'll try to respond to that later on. Okay, next. We're on the top of Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. We are two lines down. Okay, Yishecht with a knife, right? We're familiar? Mm-hmm. Good. A knife needs a bedikah before Yishecht. A bedikah of a knife means that I want to make sure that the knife has no nicks in it whatsoever. If a knife had a nick in it, so then what's going to do, it's not going to cut the pipe and it's not going to cut the esophagus, but rather what it's going to do, it's going to pull on it. And that's one of the psulei shechita. So therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to check the knife to make sure that there are no nicks and no grooves in the knife. What we're going to do is we're going to take a fingernail and we're going to run it right across the knife and see if the fingernail does not get caught in the knife. Okay, this is what's called bedikas sakin. Who can do bedikas sakin? Anybody can do bedikas sakin. I could do it, right? I don't know what I'm doing. I never shechted before. But in other words, the point is that the bedikah really could be done by anybody. However, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that if you live in a community with a Talmid Chacham, so what you should do out of respect for the Talmid Chacham is bring the knife to the Talmid Chacham. I'm sure Rabbi Goldberg feels this almost daily. Bring the knife to the Talmid Chacham and have him run the fingernail right across the knife out of respect for the Talmid Chacham. Not because the Shochet is incapable, not because he doesn't know what he's doing, but bring the knife to the Talmid Chacham of the community out of respect for the Talmid Chacham. Good? That's the background to our discussion right now. Ravina starts a kid above. So Ravina would check his own knife. Now the word sarsakina, right? The language confused me. I didn't know what that means. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, the word sar comes from the same word as Right, the Masarsa Shas, right? The Aruch. The Aruch says that the word sar comes from the word sa'ar. Okay, it's an examination, it's an inspection. Either way, Ravina would check his own knife while he was in Bavel. So far, so good. Sounds pretty parv. Sounds pretty benign. It's not so benign, right? Because who was the Rebbe in the town of Ravina? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Sar sakin Rashi." Second line down. But sakin latavich v'lamer la'ar sakin lachacham el bimneik vadashal chacham. As I got done explaining in the introduction, you got to show the knife to the Talmid Chacham. V'nimtza Ravina notalo ateres kavoda ir. Now Ravina, by checking the knife, so that means that he was also establishing himself to be the Talmid Chacham of the community. Problem is, Rashi goes on to explain, Rav Ashi Rabo b'masa mechaz yava. Rav Ashi was the Rebbe of Ravina, and Rav Ashi was in the town of Masa Mechasya, and that's also part of the municipality of Bavel. So now, here we go, we have a problem. Ravina's checking the knife, which is also a way of indicating that he is the Talmid Chacham, and meanwhile, Ravina, there's Rav Ashi. So Amalei Rav Ashi, my time avan marachi, and Rav Ashi challenges him on this. You cannot do that. So Amalei v'ha Rav Hamanuna ori becharta dargas b'shein de Rav Chista. So Ravina, in his defense, says, okay, but let's go over what we learned just a couple minutes ago, right? Starting with the bottom of the previous amud. You know, Rav Chista would paskin in the town of Kafre during the years of Rav Huna. So in other words, different community. So what Ravina's trying to say in his defense is, look, different community. I'm over here wherever Bavel may be. In other words, I'm in one municipality. You, Rav Ashi, are in Masa Mechasya, a different town. So in other words, it's fine. Right? So Ravashi is, Ravina is defending his position by saying they're in different towns. So the Gemara says, Bishnei de Rav Chista, Amar Lei, so Ravashi says back to Ravina, Lav Ore Itbar. Funny. Funny you should say that he passed in the halacha. I have a tradition, he didn't pasuk in the halacha. Meaning that while Rav Huna was alive, Rav Chista didn't pasuk in the halacha, even though he was in a different town over. So Amar Lei Idmar Uri Veidmar Lo Uri. So Ravina says back to Ravashi, no, you know what? Your tradition is right, but my tradition is also right. Meaning he paskened and he didn't paskin. Explain. Bishnei de Rav Huna Rabbe Hudala Uri. So during the years of Rav Huna, who happened to have been his Rebbe, so he didn't pass on the halacha. But during the years of Rav Chista, who was a Talmud Chaver, so therefore, during those years, he did paskin. So basically, Ravina says to Ravashi, look, you got to understand the relationship, the nature of the relationship. If it's a strict Talmud Rebbe relationship, so then granted. During a Talmud Rebbe relationship, so the Talmud cannot paskin any halacha, neither while they're living in the same community, and even if they're living in different communities. And that's your tradition of Lav Ore, meaning Rav Chista didn't paskin during the years of Rav Huna. But then later on, he did paskin. At what point? When he becomes a Talmud Chaver. A Talmud Chaver basically is a student and a colleague. In other words, they almost become now contemporaries of one another, comparable to one another, under such circumstances, so then it's okay for then Rav Chista to paskin in front of Rav Huna. And what Ravina is now arguing is, my relationship to you, Ravashi, is that of a Talmud Chaver, so to say that we're like colleagues, and therefore now it's okay. Talmud Chaver, exactly what does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here is the starting point of this discussion. Rashi writes, Talmud Chaver, Chacham Kamoso, meaning basically they're on the same level as one another. Ela Shalami, Mimena Davar Echad Yoser. But it just happens to be that there's one or more things that A learned from B. In this case, that Ravina learned from Ravashi. So in other words, in terms of their knowledge of Torah, they're comparable with one another, but Ravina learned a thing or two from Ravashi. That, says Rashi, is the definition of Talmud Chaver. Okay, longer discussion in terms of other Rishonim and what exactly is the criteria of Talmud Chaver. Good, but for our purposes, however, suffice just to say a simple pshat in the Gemara. So what Ravina is now arguing to Ravashi is that they are Talmud Chaver of one another. Okay, back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Tzurmei Rabban Chazan Afshei, a Talmud Chacham can show the knife to himself. Meaning that this idea that you have to show the knife to the Talmud Chacham of the community, out of deference, out of respect to the Talmud Chacham of the community, good. But if you happen to be a Talmud Chacham who's shechting for yourself, so therefore you can show the knife to yourself. Gemara tells a story. So Ravina goes to a community. He goes to the town of Mechuza. The innkeeper that he's staying by brings a knife to Ravina. Now Ravina is just passing through. So Ravina says, don't show the knife to me, but show the knife to Rava. Now, by the way, interesting. Rava, Ravina, not the same generation. Right, we're going to have to say that. Meaning that this is not Ravina, but rather it's Ravina. If you understand what I just meant. So the two different Ravinas. Okay, so anyway, either way. So Ravina goes to the town of Rava. They show the knife to Ravina. The innkeeper showing the knife to Ravina. Ravina says, no, not me. Pass the knife over to Rava. Let Rava inspect the knife, and then we're going to shacht. So the innkeeper says to Ravina, yeah, but here's fine. Because when we're shechting, you're shechting for yourself. And when a Talmud Chacham shechts for himself, he doesn't need to show the knife to the Rav of the community. Amalei anam izman zavini. So Ravina says to the innkeeper, incorrect. Meaning, I'm not showing the knife for myself. You're shechting the animal. All I'm going to do after you shecht the animal is I'm going to buy a little bit of meat off you. But it's not principally for me, it's principally for you. And so therefore, we have to show the knife to Rava. I have no right to look at the knife.
Rabbi Elazar bar Argunya, Rav Abba bar Techlifa, Ukulabe, Rav Acha, Breda, Rav Ika, Ba'asre, Rav Acha, bar Yaakov.
Okay, that's a lot of names, I realize. But basically, the one name that we want to keep straight is that they were in the town of Rav Acha, bar Yaakov. Okay. By Rav Acha, Breda, Rav Ika, Lamehavaluhu, Igla Tilsa.
Can we prepare for ourselves? We like to prepare for ourselves Igla Tilsa. Igla Tilsa, you're going to see come up again and again throughout Shas.
Literally translated, it's the third calf. Okay, what exactly that means? Actually, Rashi right here on our daf today has a discussion of what exactly Igla Tilsa is. Either way, point being that Igla Tilsa is, it's great. Great tasting. By the way, I encourage you, really, take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here proposes an interesting shot of what Igla Tilsa is. Anyway, again, we're going to move so we can get through the daf, and if time permits, we'll come back, which time will not permit. Either way, Igla Tilsa, they wanted a Shecht Igla Tilsa. Isis Akidava Machvele. So now here comes the knife, and once again, we're in this discussion of, wait a second, knife, you got to show it to the Rav of the community. Rav of the community was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So let's show the knife to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Amalu Rav Acha Bar Techlifa Lo Lechesh Leila Saba, meaning the elder of the community. We shouldn't worry about him. So Amalu Rav Elazar Ben Argunya Acha Amar Rav. It's Rav Ben Chazan Nafshei. So, okay, yes. Normally you're supposed to show it to the Rav of the community, but remember, if you're Talmid Chacham and you're shechting for yourself, so under those circumstances, you don't have to show the knife to the Rav of the community. So fine, so under these circumstances, we don't have to show it. Chazei v'i'anesh. The Gemara points out, so they didn't show the knife to the Rav of the community, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, rather they showed it to themselves, they then shechted, and they got punished for doing so. The Gemara is unclear what exactly the punishment was, but in other words, not improper. Improper behavior of not showing the knife to the Rav of the community. V'yanesh Rav Elazar Ben Argunya. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait a second. He didn't do anything wrong, meaning Rava says that if a Talmid Chacham is going to shecht an animal for on his own behalf, he doesn't have to show it to the Rav of the community. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true, but in that particular scenario, they actually asked the question, shouldn't we show it to the Rav of the community? So once there was a move to show respect and deference to the Rav of the community, now to retract and to rescind, that's inappropriate. So answer number one is that yes, Rava's halach is true, but once a move was made, once some modicum of respect was shown to the Rav, you got to give the knife to the Rav. V'ibaythemashani Rav Acha bar Yaakov de Muflag, or another suggestion of the Gemara is that, look, you're right. Generally speaking, a Talmid Chacham, if he's going to shecht on his own behalf, he doesn't need to show it to the Rav. However, in this particular scenario, the Rav of the community was Rav Acha bar Yaakov. He wasn't just simply the Rav of the community, he was also Muflag. Muflag means he was exceptional. He was just a giant of a Talmid Chacham, and so therefore, even another Talmid Chacham in the community had a deference to this particular Rav / Gadol, should give it to him.
To check. He was an expert.
I mean, yes. I mean, back in the good old days, I don't want to sound flippant about it, but everybody shechted. Right. It still is a big deal, but like back then, like, you know, hands on. You know, nowadays, you know, it's for special people. Amar Rava. Okay, good. So far, so good. So let's see if we can get the ground rules down. You can't pass on the halach in front of your rabbi. Okay, that's point A. If you live in a different locale, sounds like what we learned earlier in the Gemara, it's okay. At least Rav Chista did so even during the years of Rav Huna. And Rav Hamanuna did so even during the years of Rav Chista. Okay. The showing the knife to the Rav of the community, also another sign of respect for the God of your community, so that you're not allowed to do as well. There's Rava's halacha that a Talmid Chacham can shecht for himself. Fine. But the basic point that we've made so far is that you cannot paskin the halacha in front of your Rebbe. Maybe if it's Talmud, Talmud Chaver, so maybe it would be different. Fine. But that's the basics. Now, on this, the Gemara makes one more point.
Amar Rava, Ula Afrusha Miisura Afila Befanecha Shapir Dami. Let's say somebody's about to violate Nisr in the Torah, and I'm standing there, and my Rebbe's right here as well. My Rebbe happens right now not to be noticing. So can I stop somebody from doing a Nisr? Meaning, do I have to take my Rebbe's honor into account? And the Gemara is going to say, no, you don't.
Then you're on your mitzvah of tochacha and you guess like this?
There's not only a mitzvah of tochacha, but in other words, yes, but in other words, there's also my Rebbe's cover that I have to worry about. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if somebody's about to do an Isser, so then you don't have to worry about your Rebbe's kavod. The Gemara doesn't make this comparison. This is me talking right now. But so take it for what it's worth. But we have a similar idea in terms of going to the bathroom. You know, in the bathroom, you're not allowed to speak Torah, right? You're not allowed to speak Torah in the bathroom. You're not allowed to think Torah in the bathroom. Fine. But if somebody's about to do an Isser in the bathroom, so then you could stop him from doing an Isser in the bathroom, even though you're not allowed to think and speak Torah in the bathroom. But la frushim isur. But if you're stopping somebody from doing an Isser, so that's different. It falls under a different category. So again, I'm the one who's drawing the parallel. But similarly over here as well. Meaning, even though there's this idea that you must show deference to your Rebbe, and out of respect to your Rebbe, you're not allowed to pass on any halacha, but if you're going to stop somebody from doing an Isser, so that you're allowed to do even in front of your Rebbe. Good? And again, now we go back to Ravina Rav Ashi. Remember, Rav Ashi is the Rebbe. Ravina is the Talmud. And somebody was about to on Shabbos tie his animal to a tree. Okay? Using a tree on Shabbos, prohibited. Rabbinically prohibited? Doesn't matter. It's prohibited. So, this guy was about to tie an animal to the tree. And so now Ravina's witnessing this, and Ravina basically says, no, please stop. Rama bai kala velo ashkach bay. So Ravina says, don't do it. Shabbos, you can't tie your animal to a tree. Now the person in question happens to ignore Ravina. Amalela have hagav b'shamta. So this person, Ravina now wants to put this person in cherem, because he was given a direct order by a Rav to stop on Shabbos. He's ignoring the Rav. Fine, puts him in chayim. I'm like, yeah, Gavna mi mitchas keaf karusa. So now he wonders. You know, I'm right. I'm telling this person not to tie an animal to a tree on Shabbos, not to violate Nisa Durabban on Shabbos. But Ravina was in front of Rav Ashi. Is that afkarusa? Afkarusa basically means, was that chutzpah? What I just did, I paskin the halach in front of my Rebbe. So I'm alay. So Rav Ashi says back to Ravina, it's fine. Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitzah l'neged Hashem. Kol makom sheyesh bo chil Hashem, ein chokin kavod l'rav. Right? This is not the first time that we saw this pasuk being quoted. Not the first time that we made this pasuk on the point on the pasuk. Remember the Gemara in Brachos? I know that goes back many months ago, many moons ago. But remember the Gemara in Brachos? That is Shabbos. I think we reviewed it as well. Perfect. Kavod abrios. That for the purposes of kavod abrios, so you're allowed to violate certain isurim. Isur derabban, you're allowed to violate. Maybe isurim mamonos as well, or dinim mamonos, I should say, you're allowed to violate. But if it's an isur min haTorah, even though human dignity will be forsaken, nevertheless, you're not allowed to violate an isur min haTorah, even though a person is going to lose his dignity. For example, the Gemara there says a person's wearing kalayim. Klayim in a Torah, it's absolute klayim. So you have to take off your clothing, even if you're in public. The Gemara says, "How do I know that?" The Gemara quoted this pasuk: "Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitzel neged Hashem," because you're not allowed to. In other words, when it comes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you don't make any chashbonos. Meaning, don't map it out, don't work it out. Right? You just simply follow the Torah. So here too, as well. The Gemara is now using it in a slightly different context, but I see somebody violating an Isser. I know it's wrong. My Rebbe's right here. Don't take it into account. Meaning you tell him to stop doing what he's about to do, despite the fact that your Rebbe's right here. Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitzel neged Hashem. Amar Rava b'fanav asur v'chayv misa shlo b'fanav asur v'ein chayv misa. Okay, now, another point. And here's where it gets a little complicated, because earlier this morning we said that when you're not in front of your Rebbe, it's fine. But now the Gemara is saying, no, that's not true. If you pass an halacha in front of your Rebbe, it's not good, and not good. It's and it's totally improper, and chayiv misa, right? Death penalty. Now, of course, by the way, let's be clear. The Gemara here does not mean corporal death punishment, but it means misa bidei shamayim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be exceedingly upset, and it will be your life will be truncated. Okay. If you pass on the halacha not in front of your Rebbe, this is Rava now giving us over this halacha. If you pass on the halacha not in front of your Rebbe, so it's still improper, but no chiyuv misa. Okay. Now that you heard this line of Gemara, now you get to go back and look back at the previous Gemara and try to figure out how did Rav Chista Paskin while Rav Huna was around, even though he was in a different community? How did Rav Hamanuna Paskin when Rav Chista was around? So that obviously now is going to engender that question. How did that happen? You could take a look, again, just for time consideration. I'm not going to do it together. We're not going to do it together right now. But Tosus on the bottom of the previous Amud is sensitive to this issue and attempts to try to resolve this issue. Okay, but in the meantime, however, we're going to go on. So b'fanav asav v'chayv misa, shlo b'fanav asav ein chayv misa, v'shlo b'fanav lova hatanya. The Gemara points out, what about the following b'raisa? B'raisa says, Rav Elazar omer lo mesa b'nei Aaron asher hora locha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. The sons of Aaron. Okay, just not that long ago, we landed it. The sons of Aaron died because there were more halacha in front of the Rebbe Moshe. So my darsh v'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eishal ha-mizbech amru. So they made the following argument: Af apisha eish yoredem min hashamayim mitzvah lahavi min ha-hejot. Even though the fire does descend from the heaven, but mitzvah lahavi min ha-hejot, but we also must contribute to the fire as well. Now there are a lot of interesting discussions over here, which again I'm just gonna raise awareness, and we're gonna go on. First of all, are they right? Meaning they're passing the halacha, correct halacha or an incorrect halacha? That's a discussion. And also, fire for what? Meaning, what were they burning? And if you want to tell me that they were burning ketores, that's a little bit difficult, because where's ketores burnt? Which mizbeach? Outer mizbeach or inner mizbeach? Ketores is burned in the inner mizbeach. Fire comes down from shamayim for the inner mizbeach? Right, right. Fire only comes out for the outer. So, okay, so a lot of interesting points to consider and to take into consideration. Again, we're just going to go on for now, but be aware. That's point number one. Point number two in this braisa, v'talmid, sorry, Chai Misav Amr, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, also Talmud. What I do? I skipped a little bit? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go back. V'talmid Echad Ayala Rabbi Eliezer, Shara Alacha Befanav. And there was a student to Rabbi Eliezer who passed in front of Rabbi Eliezer. Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Le'ima Shalom Ishto. So Rabbi Eliezer turns to his wife and says to his wife, you know, Tamia Ani Im Yotzez Eshnaso. Yeah, I'm wondering, this student who passed in front of me, in other words, look, right, I'm fine, I will be unaffected, but passing in front of your Rebbe, I don't know if he's gonna finish off the year. V'lahotzi shnaso. And as Rabbi Eliezer said it, so it happened, student died within the year. Amrle Naviata. So she was amazed with her husband's knowledge, prophetic knowledge. In fact, she was so amazed, she said, are you a Navi? So his response is, no, I have no prophetic ability, but I do know the following. I have a tradition that if you paskin the halacha in front of your Rebbe, you're chayv misa. So this student paskin in front of his Rebbe, i.e. me. Okay, so in other words, just simple cause and effect. That's all I knew.
There is no teshuva, there is no you couldn't have told him to do teshuva.
Possibly could be. Could be. Again, we could be. All right, let's. The Amar Abba Barbachana Amar Rav Yochanan. Now, so far, by the way, why are we going through all this right now? Again, we're trying to now go over the second point of Rava. The first point of Rava, by the way, that gets totally uncontested. The first point of Rava is that if you pass in the halacha in front of your Rebbe, you're chayv misa. Everything we said now is supportive of that. The problem now is the following. On this, what we just learned, we have another tradition said by Rabbi Yochanan, which is Oso Talmud Yehuda ben Gur Yishmo, meaning, let's name names. I know Lashon Hara, but Okay, but let's name names. The particular Talmud in question was Yehuda ben Gurya. V'haya rachok mimenu gemal parsos. So, and he was three parsos away from his Rebbe. So now, here's what's curious, and here's what bothers the Gemara. Didn't you just say that you're only chayv misa when you pass the halacha in front of your Rebbe? And meanwhile, over here, he was not in front of his Rebbe. He was three parsos away. Parsa, what do we say? Parsa was 4 mil. So that's, he's 12 mil, 24,000 amas away. Good. Nice. So the Gemara's response is a very simple response. Bifanav hava. Yeah. He lived three parsas away, but in that particular episode, he was right in front of Rabbi Eliezer when he passed on the halacha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. V'harachok mimenu gimel parsos kamar. But didn't Rav Yochanan say that was three parsos away? So l'tamech shema v'shem aviv lama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let me ask you another question. Why did Rav Yochanan identify his name? Why did Rav Yochanan tell us who his father was? Elish lo tamer mashal haya. Because I don't want you to say that this is just homiletics. This is just, this is sermonics. This didn't really happen. What Rav Yochanan wanted us to know is this really happened. This is not a, this is not a medrash, it's not drush, this is real. Meaning this is, I don't want to misconvey, but in other words, it's halacha, halacha l'maisa. It just happens to have been, he lives three parsons away, but at the time when he actually said it, he said in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why he's chayv misa. Okay. I'm Rabbi Chiya Barabba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kolomar, halacha b'fnei rabba, l'hachisho nachash. Paskening halacha in front of your Rebbe, you're going to be bitten by a snake. Very similar to the same idea that we just said, which is that chayv misa, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you, and I don't mean that in a positive way. Shenemar v'yan Eliyahu ben Barkael habuzi v'yomer tse'ir ani l'yamim al kein zachalti. So the Pasuk in Iyov describes one of the students, Eliyahu ben Barkael, who was young, and therefore he was zochel. What does that mean exactly? The Gemara goes on. Uksiv im chama zochli afar. He withheld, meaning he didn't say anything because he was a Talmud. Ze'iri amar Rabbi Chanin nikra chote. Now, Rashi points out, this takes us back to the Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. That, no, I'm sorry. No. We're good. Well, not yet. I made a point too early. So Ze'iri amar Rabbi Chanin nikra chote. If you pass an halacha in front of your Rebbe, you're considered a chote. Now, what exactly that means, meaning what practical ramifications does that have? I'm unsure, but in other words, obviously, again, speaks to the idea that it's not a good thing. I hid it within my heart so I would not be considered a sinner. Meaning the Gemara understands this pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech describing himself as not saying anything. Why not? He was in front of his Rebbe, and he didn't want to pass an halacha in front of his Rebbe. Rav Amanun, Rav Miksiv, Bili Bitzafanti Amarti. So Amarticha, on one hand, David HaMelech withheld. On the other hand, Uksiv, Besarti, Tzedek, Bekal Rav. I spoke out Tzedek. Rashi explains Tzedek means Torah, Bekal Rav, in front of a lot of people. So in other words, on one hand, David withheld. On the other hand, he did not withhold. Lo kasha kamizman she'ira yiri kayem, kamizman she'na yiri, ira hayiri kayem. Gemara gives a very simple answer. While his Rebbe was alive, he did not say any halacha in front of his Rebbe. Once his Rebbe passed away, so then he expanded the halacha. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, kol nosei masos av lekoinecha, mevi rav la'olam. The Gemara digresses for just a moment. If you give manos kahuna to one kohen, so you bring famine to the world. Now, We are digressing here for just a moment, but that's simply because we spoke about this ira hayiri, so the Gemara digresses for just a brief moment. You can't, manos kahuna, right, we give gifts to the kohanim, truma to the kohen, so what you should not do, although you could do it, but you should not do it, is give all your truma to one kohen, but rather we should spread it out. From a pragmatic standpoint, I think we all understand. Meaning, if I only give my truma to one kohen, so then there are going to be a lot of other kohen who are not going to receive any type of allocation. So in other words, you want to distribute, or you want to disperse. Good. And so, the Gemara can be understood on the simplest of levels, which is, that if you give all your truma to one kohen, mevi ra'av la'olam, so you bring a famine to the world, meaning other kohanim are not going to eat. Could also be that the Gemara means it more, you know, metaphysically, meaning that because of that, also famine comes to the world as well. Okay, in other words, yeah, it's just simply not good. Shenemar iri ha'iri ha'yakon la'David. Now the Gemara says, now Iri was a coin to David HaMelech, meaning that there's no such thing as a private coin. What it simply means is that he only gave to Iri Iri and to no one else. And as a result of that, there was a famine during the years of David HaMelech. Okay, good. Back to being Mora Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. Rabbi Lazar, Amen, Mori, no Sami Gulasov. Someone who passes Halacha in front of his Rabbi is going to get a demotion. In other words, he has a certain position. He will be demoted from that position, deposed. Shenemar v'yom Elazar kohen al anshei tzava. Now, Elazar paskin the Halacha. Now, the Halacha that he paskin was Tfilas Kalim. Meaning when they came back from the war with Midian, and they came back with all the spoils of war, so there the halacha is that you get something, you get a kli from a non-Jew, you got a tovel in the mikvah, tfilas kelim. So who told over this halacha? Elazar told over this halacha. At that point in time, he was a Talmud. Moshe should have been the one. Afagav da'amalolo, lachi abativa, v'osi lo tziva. Now, although he was very clear, I wasn't the one who was given this halacha, meaning this halacha was told to my uncle. Doesn't matter. Afilo hachi I anesh. Dechsiv lifnei Elazar kohen yamod, v'lo ashkecha de'ir yitzrechle Yehoshua. Nowhere ever do we find that Yehoshua turns to Elazar kohen, even though Elazar kohen during the generation of Yehoshua was the de facto kohen gadol. But in other words, he got a demotion in terms of his position because of this instance where he passed in the halacha. Amar Rav Levi called the Mosiv Mila Kamei Derabbi Azalishol below Vlad. Gemara again speaks in very strong terms about speaking in front of your Rebbe. You speak in front of your Rebbe, so you go to the grave with no sons. Shenemar Vayan Yoshua Benu Mesharit Moshe Mi Bachura Vayomer Adoni Moshe Kal Eim. Remember, Moshe was giving over his nevuah to the 70 Zekanim, / 72 Zekanim, meaning that of the 72, two of them were not going to be part of the 70 Zekanim, and that, of course, was Eldad and Medad. They received the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they went and they started prophesizing out in the camp. What they were prophesizing, Gemara elsewhere talks about what exactly they were saying. In the meantime, however, Yehoshua comes and Yehoshua says, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is terrible. Let's incarcerate them, right? Terminate them. Okay, however you want to understand it. But in other words, Yehoshua spoke in front of Moshe. Yehoshua had no business speaking. Gemara says, as a result of that, we're now on the top of Samach Gimel and Beis. Uksiv Nun Beno, Yehoshua Beno. So Yehoshua and the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describes Nun being the son, Yehoshua being the son of Nun, hence Yehoshua ben Nun, but no sons for Yehoshua. Upligi the Rabbi Abba bar Papa, the Amar Rabbi Abba bar Papa lo nena Yehoshua ella b'shul shebita l'Yisrael laila acha miperi v'rivya. Now there is a debate, meaning Yehoshua. Look, the facts on the ground is Yehoshua didn't have sons. Facts on the ground. Why didn't he have sons? So, version number one of the Gemara, opinion number one of the Gemara is because he said something in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. He shouldn't have said something. There's a second opinion in the Gemara, in that what he did is that he prevented husband and wife from being intimate with one another for just one night. He was preventing the mitzvah peru revu, and as a result of that, Yehoshua died with no sons. Shenemar, now how do we know that this is so? So the Gemara tells us, right, the Gemara tells first the Navi. Navi tells a story where Yehoshua basically confronts a Malach Hashem. And he says, I'm coming as a result of now. Now the Psukim are not that clear exactly why he came, but the Gemara over here is clear. Amar lo, emish bitaltam tam mishal ben arabayim, v'achshav bitaltam tam v'torah. Now what they were doing is they were laying a siege on Yericho, and as a result of that, two things occurred. Number one is that yesterday, he didn't bring the tam mishal ben arabayim. Right, they just, because they were too busy laying a siege, so therefore they failed to bring the carbon tamid, the afternoon carbon tamid. Furthermore, they weren't learning Torah. Meaning Rashi explains beautifully. Meaning during the daytime they were waging war. Right, no time for Torah learning. Okay, good. That's during the daytime. What about night? Okay, good. Nighttime now is perfect time to learn Torah. You're not fighting any war during the night, so they should have been learning Torah at night. And the Malach comes over to Yoshua and says, you know, not right, that you weren't learning Torah at night. Al Ezame Bata. So now he's... So there were two points of criticism for Yehoshua. Point number one is, didn't bring the Talmud Shal Ben Arbayim. Point number two is, didn't engage in the study of Torah. Amar lo atabati. So which one was the real infraction? Meaning the reason why Yehoshua was getting a visit by the Malach. So because you weren't learning Torah. Vayelach Yehoshua balalahu b'socha emek. So Yehoshua went that night into the valley, and the Gemara understands b'derech hadrush v'amar av yochem l'amishalach ba'omker shalacha. Valley over here, not to be taken literally. Valley over here means be'emek halacha, the valley of halacha. Meaning, he went back to learn Torah. Ugmir dechozman sharon shchina shurin shalom bemkomam asur b'tashma shamita. And another point is that because they were continuing the siege, that means that that night the Torah, the Aron was not replaced back to the Mishkan, but rather the Aron remained with the Jewish people. And as a consequence of that, the Jewish people could engage in Tashma Shemitah. Meaning, if the Aron and the Shechina are not in its proper place, so Tashma Shemitah cannot be, a husband and wife cannot engage in Tashma Shemitah. Okay. With all this taken into consideration now, so now this is point number two. Yehoshua prevented Jewish people from period of Verivia, granted for only one night. That's why Yehoshua did not have any sons. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Inan Mishmei Derav Gadol Talmud Torah Yosim Yakovas Tamidim Damar Le'atabat. And the Gemara also points out that we see that the Malach visited Yehoshua for two infractions, but it really was the second one, which was Bittul Torah, which means that Bittul Torah is more significant or more important than bringing a carbon tamid. Okay, Amar Rav Barona, and we finish up today with this. Amar Rav Kol Yashem Bekila She Ish Veishto Shurim Ba. Right, any person who gets between a husband and wife being intimate, so the Gemara says it's a terrible thing. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Micha. It's like basically you're chasing away the husband from the wife from the husband. So in other words, you gotta allow a husband and wife their privacy. And that's not just true if the husband and wife could engage in Tashma Shamita, but even if they can't. Meaning, even if the wife is a Nida, still, you cannot infringe on the privacy of husband and wife. Now, the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rava, which is that if the wife is a Nida, then by you infringing on their privacy, that's a good thing. Because anyway, they can't have relations. So the Gemara says, Velohi. The Gemara immediately rejects that position. Because up until now, who was guarding and safeguarding them? Meaning, husband and wife there never is a concern for the husband and wife while she's a Nida that he will violate the halachas of Nida. Meaning, the idea of paspasalo. So even while the wife is a Nida, there should never be anybody else infringing on the privacy of husband and wife. And the Gemara, and here is where we end today's daf. Tomorrow we go back to the topic of Eruv Echatzeros. So again, one topic for today, right? An entire daf, one topic, being Mara Halacha Bifnei Rabo. The Gemara says he cannot. What halachas are we talking about? Halachas of Be'ah B'Kutcha, halachas of Megillah Tanis, basically anything that requires a hara, anything that requires a ruling. Then the Gemara went on to discuss an entire daf of Gemara dedicated to the topic of what the if bifnei rabo, shelo bifnei rabo, consequences of paskening halacha in front of your rebbe. Okay,
all encapsulated in today's daf Samach Gimel of Erevin. Tomorrow we pick it up on Shabbos. Back to Eruv v'Chatzeros. The break is officially over.